It's spring and you want to hike, bike, hit up the farmer's market, but the last thing you want to do on a warm, sunny morning is clean house. That's where Greenland Pro Cleaning comes in. They're eco-friendly, allergy-friendly, and locally owned in Asheville. Listeners of The Overlook get a free upholstery and refrigerator cleaning upgrade with their first booking. Just use the code PODCAST at checkout. Make the most of your time this spring and visit greenlandprocleaning.com/overlook. Imagine, you're a classical music composer about to premiere your final symphony. Behind the scenes, your family and a stranger are about to throw everything into disarray. Welcome to A God in the Waters, the latest play by the venerable Asheville writer David Brendan Hopes. Look for a lot of laughs, but also a deeper reflection on the making of art and its impact on the people closest to the genius at work. The Sublime Theater presents A God in the Waters May 9th through 18th at the BB Theater in downtown Asheville. For tickets and details, go to thesublimetheater.org.
I am a maker, a builder, a baker, although sometimes my messes are all that you'll find. I'll tell a story, both true and allegorical. The process is precious, so it takes up all my time.
The Hospital Corporation of America purchased the nonprofit Mission Hospital 4 years ago in a deal shrouded in secrecy. Since then, hundreds of doctors, nurses, and support staff have resigned. North Carolina's Attorney General has joined them in protesting what they see as an unflinching profits over people business model. The Asheville Watchdog has written many stories detailing much of the decimation of Asheville's once vaunted hospital. Recently, the Watchdog's executive editor, Peter Lewis, wrote an extensive column that asks, what can be done?
The Attorney General, a couple of weeks ago, issued a demand to HCA for 41 sets of documents regarding quality of care and physician practices at Mission Hospital. And HCA's response was to enlist what may be the largest law firm in the world, certainly the most profitable law firm in the world, to write a letter essentially telling the Attorney General that he didn't have the authority to ask HCA to comply with that request.
This is The Overlook with Matt Pikin, a podcast about the news, arts, issues, and trends of Asheville, North Carolina. Today, Peter Lewis walks us through a purchase that from every angle appears nefarious. We talk about HCA's anti-competitive actions and some missed opportunities to place certain quality of care guardrails on the sale. We also run through a range of ideas and options for influencing how HCA manages Mission Hospital. Peter Lewis is a retired editor and writer from the New York Times. I began our conversation by asking about his entry point into the story of HCA's purchase of Mission Hospital.
My wife and I moved to Asheville in the end of 2019, and part of the reason that we chose Asheville as a retirement destination was because of the reputation of Mission Hospital as one of the top hospital systems in the country. And so it was quite a surprise when we actually landed here and I discovered the nonprofit Mission had been sold to HCA. In my career, I was a reporter at the New York Times and had come across HCA. A lot of the stories that we've recounted recently about their massive Medicare fraud settlements and various lawsuits around the country that sort of follow HCA around. And I wondered, why the heck did they sell to Hospital Corporation of America? And so being a retired journalist, I started asking, like, how did this happen? And I was surprised when people said, I'm sorry, we can't tell you, which to an investigative journalist is catnip.
Which is mind-boggling even on the face of it, that HCA had this litany, this trail of past behavior. And yet, from your reporting and the Watchdog's reporting, Barbara Durr has done great work on this. Other journalists have done this. That it seems that this deal was in the bag. That it something happened. You said, how could this happen? And years later, it seems like you don't have an answer as to how this happened. We don't know fully how this happened, do we?
We have a good inkling of how this deal happened. I started reading the Citizen Times, the local daily paper, about the sale, trying to figure out how the sale went down and how it was received in the community. The sale happened before I arrived here. The actual handover took place in February of 2019.
Yeah, and it was only $1.5 billion. To me, look, I'm not in this industry, but that seems a pretty sweetheart price for that. Am I wrong in assessing that?
Several economists have told me that trying to figure out hospital and healthcare valuations is a type of voodoo that requires a very specialized understanding of how hospital finance is done. The best that we can say is that the Attorney General's office and Mission both had investment firms look at the deal, and they determined that HCA made a fair offer for Mission.
So the Attorney General and others who might oversee this deal were looking primarily or exclusively at whether that financially this was a fair price. Were there other considerations brought to bear before this deal was allowed to go through?
There's quite a history of it. Going back to 1995, Mission Health was allowed to operate as a state-regulated monopoly in Western North Carolina. And that meant that they did have monopoly power for this region. But in 2015, Mission Hospital appealed to the state legislature to rescind that state regulation, which created a situation of all of a sudden you have an unregulated monopoly. And that took place in 2016, I believe.
That's really interesting that they were already allowed to have a monopoly, but a regulated monopoly. I can see why they would want to ask for no regulation, but why would anyone grant? Why were they allowed to have an unregulated monopoly? They were already given a regulated monopoly, which in itself seems like that goes against the grain of antitrust regulation. So what happened in 2015, 2016 to rationalize allowing Mission to no longer have to abide by regulations regarding this monopoly?
The overall trend in healthcare in the United States is to consolidation and growth. And I think Mission made an argument that apparently the legislature found compelling that the regulations on Mission prevented it from competing and getting the best deals they could from insurance companies and other things.
Okay, but they didn't have competition, right? They had a blessed monopoly in this region. Am I missing something here? What competition would they have faced in getting good deals from insurance companies? There were no other hospitals bidding or competing for these patients.
Right after the Certificate of Public Authority, the monopoly legislation was rescinded, Mission tried to strong-arm Blue Cross Blue Shield into reducing the rates that they charge Mission or to allow them to raise prices. And Blue Cross Blue Shield essentially rubbed sand in Mission's face. I won't get into the psychology of it, but I think the people who were running Mission at the time felt that they needed to get a large partner in order to be able to negotiate better deals.
So getting this large partner, is this where we're opening the door to the HCA, the monster of HCA?
I went through 17,000 documents that we received from the Attorney General's office under a public records request, and it was not an easy process to get those documents because everything involved in this deal is cloaked in non-disclosure agreements that even today lawyers say prevent anyone who was involved in the deal with talking about it publicly.
That in itself, now, I'm not a lawyer, I have no idea about this, but did the Attorney General's office have any power at the time to say, wait, that doesn't pass the smell test. I'm not going to allow this deal to go through if you're going to, among many other potential considerations here, but why are you asking for NDAs? Was there a trail of red flags that the Attorney General either overlooked or didn't have any power to do anything about anyway? If there were these red flags, who had any power to stop the Mission board before the sale from going forward with the sale?
The negotiations with HCA were conducted in secret. And so by the time the board approved the deal and announced that they were planning to do this sale, that triggered the Attorney General's activation. The Attorney General is obligated to investigate the sale of any nonprofit corporation to a for-profit corporation to protect the public's interest, because the public for 133 years has been supporting Mission. Mission didn't have to pay taxes. Thousands of people volunteered at the hospital to help it. They contributions from the community. The Attorney General's role is to make sure that in any sale of a nonprofit that the public's interest is represented.
So you mentioned that Mission in 2015, 2016 sought and were successful in deregulating their monopoly. Mm-hmm. They then felt they needed a partner to go forward in the business of being a hospital. You said there's a lot we know about why this sale happened. I still don't know why. You said so much is cloaked in secrecy, NDAs in perpetuity. Despite the secrecy and the NDAs, what do you know about why this sale, from Mission standpoint, was it simply a craven money grab? I don't get it. I don't understand why anybody on the Mission board, other than CEO Ronald Paulus, within days of the closing of the sale, ended up working, joining the staff of HCA. Right there, it's too late then. Sorry, we're closing the door on this deal. It's done. But why would the Mission board go along with this? Because if you say we know a lot, that goes to what do you know there?
After the Attorney General was notified of Mission's desire to sell itself to HCA, they began an investigation, and a very thorough investigation of the deal. And they found a number of very troubling things about the agreement that the board had negotiated with HCA. They actually requested the opportunity to tell the Mission board about some of the concerns they had, and they were not allowed to make that presentation to the Mission board.
How can they deny the state attorney general? Can the attorney general say, if you're not going to allow me to do this, I'm not going to approve this sale?
The attorney general has the ability to investigate, but not to stop the deal if the board of Mission was determined to do it. So the board voted unanimously the first time to sell to HCA. The attorney general found a number of conflicts of interest. It determined that the contract that Mission had negotiated with HCA was lopsided in HCA's favor. And they went back and they told the Mission board, they wanted them to know all of the conflicts that they had discovered, and asked the board to vote again, knowing that there were problems with the deal. And the board once again voted unanimously to pursue the deal. At that point, according to the Attorney General, he had no authority to stop the deal, but he could issue conditions on the deal. And in fact, he did 15 different conditions. An example, under the original contract, HCA would have been allowed to close unprofitable services in Western North Carolina after 5 years. And the Attorney General said, no, it's got to be 10 years. So those conditions were added to the deal as a condition for him to issue a letter of non-objection. So he didn't really approve the deal. He simply couldn't.
He abstained, in a sense, right?
Well, he did make the deal more favorable to the citizens of this region.
Did any of these conditions stipulate anything about quality of care?
No.
Do you know why? As vocal as the Attorney General has been about HCA and continuing to talk about it, he himself has not addressed why he didn't seek any conditions of quality of care.
I investigated a lot of similar sales of nonprofits to for-profit healthcare organizations across the country. And I've got to say, in most of those cases where the Attorney General did intervene, I didn't find any examples of them making quality of care a requirement. There were some in California when Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of California before becoming vice president. She did insist on some quality of care metrics for deals like this. But Josh Stein, the Attorney General, did not. And in retrospect, that's questionable.
it's really mind-boggling, and it just goes to show how much of a, quote, pro-business state we kind of are. Would the state legislature have been able to do anything about this if it was a different makeup of a state legislature where not a Republican supermajority? Do you think the legislature could have come in and done something about this?
I don't know. We are in a remote part of the state, quite far removed from Raleigh, and whether the state legislature has a full understanding of healthcare in this part of the state where people are older, sicker, and poorer than people in the rest of North Carolina, it's a different animal. So I don't know.
The Watchdog has done any number of stories that have dived into the quality of care issue. I can pick out a couple of things about ambulance wait times and the departure of whole physician groups and nurses groups. And yet HCA almost, maybe not even almost, but blatantly, it's like, we don't care. There's no response. They just say, when you quote Nancy Lindell, their PR person, she just said, we provide the quality of care Western North Carolina deserves, and we will continue to provide the best quality of care. You could create that in an artificial intelligence quote. But other than that, HCA doesn't seem to have any response.
They've been extremely responsive this past week. And I think we've actually seen a sea change, a shift in HCA's stance where they're coming out swinging.
Talk about that a little bit. I want to bring this up, that HCA, from what I understand, has tried to pass new bylaws or new requirements on their physicians and nurses and other staff that they cannot say anything or write anything that is disparaging of HCA, or there'd be steep consequences in their job. Is that what you're talking about in terms of them coming out swinging?
That's part of it. And the Attorney General a couple of weeks ago issued a demand to HCA for 41 sets of documents regarding quality of care and physician practices at Mission Hospital. And HCA's response was to enlist what may be the largest law firm in the world, certainly the most profitable law firm in the world, to write a letter essentially telling the Attorney General that he didn't have the authority to ask HCA to comply with that request. So basically, it's our lawyers will beat up your lawyers.
And you allude to this in your column, mm-hmm. that HCA, Fortune 100 company, can have lawyers at its disposal that would dwarf the North Carolina Attorney General's office and any other state or government law entity that would come in their direction, right?
Yes, I think that's exactly what happened.
And yet you have physicians and nurses and other staff leave by the scores. You have physicians who are grouping to write letters saying, this is what's happening at HCA. This is why we can no longer be there. Nurses have left by the hundreds. And yet, what I found interesting, give me your take on this. There's a group of existing physicians at HCA who wrote a counter letter saying, things are fine here. We've had some struggles with the changeover, as any changeover in ownership would be, but our quality of care has not dropped, and we are working tirelessly for the betterment of health of Western North Carolina. What do you make of that letter from physicians who are continuing to work for HCA?
It was a direct response to a letter signed by 50 or 60 former physicians at Mission and other healthcare people in the area decrying the decline in healthcare at Mission. So this was a response to that, where Mission doctors were asked to sign a letter saying, no, we're providing a great quality of care here.
What do you make of that? And what do people who you've talked to, other physicians, nurses, others who have worked in the past for Mission and HCA, what do they make of that letter, the counter letter from existing physicians who are working for HCA?
There are some valid points in it. One of the misconceptions is that Mission is somehow unique in its staffing problems and its cleanliness problems, various other issues. Hospitals all across the country are having staffing problems, and wait times at emergency rooms are climbing, and it's not an easy business to be in.
I want to say, before you continue, you mentioned wait times. Ambulances that brought patients to Mission for emergency care in 2018, only 4 patients had to wait an hour or longer. This year, through September, 309 patients have had to wait an hour or longer. Now, you alluded to that hospitals everywhere are dealing with these issues. Is it impossible to suss out how much of this is post-pandemic problems that are rife across industries, hospitals and elsewhere, from problems that are acutely Mission/HCA's? Is it impossible to disentangle those?
The pandemic clearly put strains on healthcare systems all around the world. One thing that we pay most attention to is when physicians who have experience working at Mission go to other hospital systems and say that the difference is night and day. I think the most telling criticism of Mission, even considering the national conditions, is that doctors who have familiarity with Mission and other systems say things are much better elsewhere than they are at Mission. I have personal experience going through the emergency room at Mission this past summer. I was sent to the Mission emergency room by my personal physician. That was at 11 o'clock in the morning for what she thought was an urgent medical need. I was finally admitted to the hospital at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wait, so you were there for 16 hours?
Yes.
Before you got seen?
Yeah, and most of that time in the emergency room. And the emergency room, when I got there, there was a line of people waiting to register for emergency help. There were people throwing up in the hallways. There were meth addicts tweaking out on the floors. It was really a Hieronymus Bosch kind of painting. And I think in the article that I wrote on Halloween, it was like Halloween in the emergency room.
I can't imagine what the backup there was, how many people you were in there with.
There were some physicians in there as well, taking their parents into the emergency room for various things. And we had lots and lots of time to talk to other people in the emergency room. And the conditions there were simply unacceptable. I've lived overseas in what would be considered less advanced parts of the world, and I've been in the hospitals there, and this was just simply a rotten experience, and I wouldn't want to go there again.
More after this.
When you go to an Asheville City Soccer Club game, you're not just watching soccer. You're welcomed into what players and fans call the South Slope Blues.
The South Slope Blues, they're amazing.
This is the coach of the women's team, Brooke Bingham.
The atmosphere is what makes Asheville City Soccer so great.
Longtime player Laura Greb.
We have the most dedicated fans. We have our South Slope Blues. They post up in the corner of the field every game. They've got their drums, they've got their smoke, they've got their loud voices. You can hear them for miles.
Elite men and women players from throughout North Carolina team up in Asheville for a 2-month season against other aspiring pros from all over the Southeast. Home games this season begin May 18th at Greenwood Field on the UNC Asheville campus. For details, tickets, and your first steps into the South Slope Blues, visit Asheville City Soccer Club at AshevilleCitySC.com. Your column, the real heart of it, is you ask, what can be done? And spoiler alert, very little, it seems. And you go down all the possibilities. And I think it's important. I want people to read through. You bring up all kinds of things. You mentioned, can our community force a sale? Say, unlikely. Can the hospital be bought back? Unlikely. And you mentioned this is of HCA's 183 hospitals in its system, Mission is number 2 in revenue. And you say point blank, why would they give that up? It's a cash cow. It's an approved waterfall of money that will never abate.
Yeah, HCA bought a monopoly healthcare situation here in Western North Carolina. And as I mentioned, it ranks number two in terms of net patient revenue among all of the 183 hospitals that HCA operates. And number one has twice as many beds as Mission Hospital does.
Wow.
So they're making a lot of money here.
You mentioned very early in our conversation about HCA, we were talking about acquiring Mission. Do you know how many of HCA's hospitals were acquired versus built or developed on their own?
I don't know that, but Matt, there's one development. Last month, University of Oklahoma bought back a hospital that it had sold to HCA. It's a much smaller operation than the one here in Asheville, but there is a possibility that the community might be able to make HCA an offer.
You did talk about that. You mentioned going down the line of different possibilities. Can we amend the purchase agreement? Probably also unlikely. You mentioned the only other bidder, if they can even be considered a bidder in this process, it seems like Novant Health. The game was rigged from the start, it seems like. So Novant Health, the only other bidder, and they seemingly came in with a better offer than HCA.
That was the thing that kicked off certainly my reporting on Mission, was reading the papers and not knowing who else bid on the hospital. And the hospital refusing to say who would bid. They said that there were multiple people interested in buying the hospital, but my reporting found out that nobody was given the opportunity. In fact, Novant was the only company besides HCA that was given the opportunity to make a presentation to the board of directors. In fact, Ron Paulus, the CEO of Mission, had approached HCA before the Mission board even authorized him to begin searching for partners. They had an offer in hand from HCA for both a sale and a partnership agreement, a 50-50 arrangement that would have allowed the Mission system to remain locally controlled.
How does that work? Local control, but HCA owns it.
They're a partner. So Mission would take advantage of HCA's scale, the ability to buy supplies and medicines and other things at cost. But at the same time, Mission would retain local control over the hospital in a partnership with HCA.
And is that what happened?
No. The board rejected that deal.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would they say, we don't want control? Why would the board? It defies logic.
I wish we could ask them.
You actually did post the names of every board member and every leader at the tail end of your column. And you left an invitation saying, now that we're past this deal, we're now 4 years since the closure of that deal, you're asking the board, have you had time to reflect and maybe reconsider the wisdom of this? I want to ask you, has any member of the Mission board anonymously, with promised anonymity, reached out to you about this?
No.
Nobody has?
No.
So you did mention among the solutions, you mentioned we could make public pressure. HCA, seemingly, from the outside looking in, seems impervious to public pressure. So much has been written about the criticisms from patients, doctors, nurses, staff. Everybody in this chain who deals with HCA has lobbied and levied criticisms upon criticisms with data, not just anecdotal experiences. And HCA seems to be completely shameless around this. How can public pressure of any variety make a difference?
I think it's really telling that at least once a week now, somebody says they're thinking about moving. They call us up and they say they're thinking about moving to Asheville, but they're concerned about the reputation of Mission Hospital. And we have to say, yeah, it is a concern. And if enough people in this community express concerns about the quality of healthcare here, then that's got to get HCA's attention.
How? I don't know how. In fact, there are a lot of people, the artists and others in this community, who say there are already too many people moving here. And if the so-called poor quality of healthcare keeps people from moving here, fine, stay away. There are a lot of people here who don't want to see more people moving here. I don't know how that pressure would make any difference. People are moving here regardless. One thing you did mention, it seemed like the only real potential lever was the oversight of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid and the Joint Commission on Accreditation of Healthcare Organizations. You said they can't close the hospital, but their certifications or the absence or taking away certifications can have a real impact on hospitals. Can you talk about that?
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services oversees the regulatory system, oversees whether or not a hospital can get reimbursed for Medicare and Medicaid patients.
Which is huge. That's everything. That's huge.
It would be a death penalty if, especially in this region, with so many uninsured people and so many people on Medicare and Medicaid, if they were found to offer substandard care, then that is a possibility that CMS could threaten them with losing that ability to make money. But last week, Mission Hospital was given an A grade by an independent monitor called Leapfrog. For the last 5 years, Mission has been very proud of the fact that they've received A ratings for safety and healthcare from the Leapfrog group. This year, they chose not to participate in it because I think they have to report on things like cleanliness and staffing ratios and all of that.
So it's a voluntary assessment?
Yeah. So this year, for the first time, certainly in recent history, they refused to participate on their own. But the reports coming in from the Department of Health and Human Services and from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services apparently gave Mission good enough grades that they still retained an A grade from Leapfrog.
Wow. What do you make of that?
We wrote a story last year about how valid these rating systems are. It's sort of like opening up a magazine and seeing that Asheville is named number 3 best place to retire. How do you measure something like that?
Also, there are things like getting an A-plus rating for the Better Business Bureau. It's almost meaningless. Mm-hmm. You pay into these organizations. From what I understand, a lot of these ratings, the agencies that are tasked with rating are paid for by the people they are rating.
Exactly.
Is this similar? Is Leapfrog a truly independent, like a Consumer Reports entity, or are they in the pocket of the hospitals that they're tasked with overseeing?
I wouldn't go that far. There are a reputable organization. Leapfrog does have a very rigorous way of collecting data, analyzing it, expert staff, but they do charge the hospitals a fee for using their ratings. But it's the same thing with we just did a big story on tourism where some magazine will rank Asheville the top beer destination in America. They were paid to do that by the Tourism Development Authority.
I'm just wondering with Leapfrog, and you're saying that they're very highly thought of and that you said their process is rigorous. We've just talked about just a fraction of the data that points to how quality of care, not just your own experience, but that of people who are giving the care are talking about it. How could any entity, Leapfrog or anybody else, what data are they using that we don't have access to that is leading them to believe that HCA Mission deserves an A grade?
It didn't come from Mission HCA. It's really remarkable that they didn't participate in this process this year.
So how could any information have come to Leapfrog that would allow them to give such a rating? If it's that rigorous, they would say, we weren't allowed in. We can't give them a rating. Wouldn't that be a little more responsible and have more integrity?
Our reporter, Andrew Jones, did talk to them to ask that very question. How did they get an A rating when they didn't agree to provide any data?
Okay, so before I let you go, where are we at with being able to do anything? Seems seemingly there's no real leverage point other than potentially the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid doing something if they come in and find that the standard of care at HCA is less than stellar.
I think the first thing I would say is that the state legislature needs to rescind the certificate of need policy, which prevents other healthcare systems from moving into this area without approval. The certificate of need was set up to prevent the kind of thing that's happening here right now.
Yeah, you even mentioned that as part of this, and correct me if I'm wrong in this, HCA has made more hospital beds available to show there isn't a need here, even though they're not being used, correct?
The state determined that Asheville needed 67 more hospital beds. There's a fight over who gets to open. There's a freestanding emergency clinic that is going to go into Buncombe County. The question is, who gets to open it? And the Attorney General says that he would like anybody except Mission to be able to do that. Mission has challenged. They say, no, we're the best qualified to open those things. And I think anybody who's been in the system will recognize that they can't even staff the beds that they've got currently. So why would they want to do 67 more beds except to keep out competition?
So this 67-bed emergency hospital center, this seems like perhaps a foot in the door to having some alternative to HCA. You mentioned Josh Stein wants anybody other than HCA Mission to operate that. You said there is right now HCA is allowed to operate with an approved monopoly. You said it would be up to the state legislature to allow this to go through, right? That somebody else other than HCA operate that 67-bed facility.
Yeah, if you look at South Carolina and Kentucky, those states have done away with this so-called certificate of need, basically allowing the marketplace to determine if some other hospital wants to come in here and build a new facility here in Asheville, should they be allowed to do that?
That should appeal to any free market Republican, right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah.
Do you know how, just wondering how our congressman, Edwards, how does he feel about this?
We don't know.
He's kept his mouth shut about this?
He hasn't been active in the conversation.
Is there anything we haven't talked about around HCA Mission that you think is important for people to know going forward?
Asheville Watchdog is beginning a series of public forums. In January, we're having one on Mission, and we're going to be talking about what can we do about the situation here. I think we've done our best to inform people about the history of the sale of Mission to HCA, raising a lot of questions that, unfortunately, the people who made this deal don't want anybody ever to find out about. There are secrets involved in the deal that are protected by phalanxes of lawyers. And that, as a community, I think we deserve answers.
Our First Look newsletter gives you just a handful of daily headlines from around the local media landscape to get you on your morning. We also have a weekly newsletter devoted to all things The Overlook that hits you every Friday. Both are free and available at podavl.com/newsletter. I want to thank today's guest, Peter Lewis, executive editor of the Asheville Watchdog. Our conversation happened inside the BB Theater in downtown Asheville. The owners, Susan and Giles Collard, have been so gracious enough to allow me to record my interviews there. Our theme music for The Overlook, Maker's Song, comes courtesy of the Asheville band The Resonant Rogues. The Overlook is a production of Podcast Asheville. New episodes come out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on any social media channel at AVL Overlook. And I'll see you on the next episode of The Overlook with Matt Piken. Hey, everyone. Matt Piken here from The Overlook, and I'll get back to my conversation in just a moment. But I'm asking you, the listener, yes, you, listening this very moment, is The Overlook making a difference in your connection to Asheville? Do you know more about what makes this city tick and where we're struggling? If you had to give up one cup of coffee every month to do your part to keep this show going, would you step up? If you answered yes to any of that, and I really hope you did, please join dozens of other listeners by supporting The Overlook with Matt Piken through my Patreon campaign by giving just $5 a month. Give at higher levels and you'll earn free tickets to my live podcasting events. Your support means the world to me and helps keep this show free for anyone to hear. Go to patreon.com/theoverlookpodcast.